It feels like, what, Jay? 89? Some real parts of the early 90s, 92, 93, both teams in contention. It's like the olden days revisited here. Well, olden days for some, me, not for all of you out there. But welcome to the program. Orioles baseball coming up with Joe Angel and Fred Manfred, Bud Norris and Mark Burley. That's your pitching matchup. We'll get into that in some great detail coming up before we send it to Toronto and the Rogers Center. But the Ravens are some now, 49 hours away from playing in their first preseason game. And joining us now from ESPN.com and WBAL contributor, Jameson Hensley. J-Mo, how are you?
Doing well, Brett.
Well, I do want to start before we get into a very special news related to you today. I want to start with the Ravens as far as what needs to get done for them on Thursday. How many series do you think the first team gets, Jameson? Do you think it's a player-by-player thing, or do you think the offense will get a couple of series?
I think pretty much that the bulk of the first team offense, if they get two series, that's going to be it. My thinking is if they go out and they're productive on that first series and avoid that three and out, I think they're going to be one and done. Same way with most of the defensive players, but when you're looking at Haloti Ngata, Terrell Suggs, Chris Canty, they're only going to last one series. The younger starters, when you look at a C.J. Mosley, a Brandon Williams, who's the new nose tackle, I could see them going 2-4 series, maybe even possibly just beyond the first quarter, because those guys need their reps. But I think for the most part, the star players, it's going to be one and done.
Do you think because there is a new offensive coordinator and a new offensive scheme, new language, I talked to Dennis Pitta today about that, that there's just a lot more to get done, and that maybe you would see a few more snaps out of the first offense as opposed to some training camps gone by?
Yeah, I thought that was a possibility. And then we talked to John Harbaugh after the practice at Navy, and he said they're going status quo, which is a little surprising to me, just because everything that you mentioned, it's a new offense, new terminology. And if you look at it kind of a different perspective, everybody that's in that offense, other than maybe a Jacoby Jones or a Justin Forsett, they're rookies in this offense. So I thought there was a possibility of, hey, let's just go in with the starters for at least a quarter. But Harbaugh, his philosophy throughout the preseason has not changed since he became head coach. He wants to avoid, I think when you're looking at priorities, avoiding injury and keeping guys fresh, I think that's number one for him. And you can tell by the way he kind of parcels out all the reps for people.
Jameson, do we know whether the offense or defense will be introduced on Thursday night before the game?
I have not heard that.
I only asked that as it pertains to Ray Rice.
Right, and I think that's why I was just going to say, if you're going to ask me a guess, I would probably say defense.
Yeah.
Just to avoid, they've had two public practices, and in the first one, they gave him, a small group gave him a standing ovation. Last night at Navy, I was standing on the sideline, and Ray Rice at one point, because the kids were just screaming for him, he leapt up into the stands, almost like a Lambeau leap in Annapolis, and was signing autographs for young kids. So everything as far as locally, it's been a positive for Ray Rice. I just don't know when you have a large crowd, a large stadium full of fans, if you want to risk having boos at this point. Maybe they just wait for that third game against the Redskins.
Jameson Hensley from ESPN.com is with us. Jameson, what's the biggest thing the Ravens need to get accomplished here in game one?
I think it's all offensively. I think defensively they kind of know what they have. They've been in the DMP system for a while. They've looked very good through most of the training camp. For offense, it's been more up and down. So I think they want to establish, get a little bit more confidence in that run game, because everyone, if you watched just a few games last year of the Ravens, know how woeful that running game has been. And in training camp, you do put the pads on, but you really don't know until you go against another team. They're going to keep it basic, but there's fundamentals to the running game. Block, the stretch, the run, the one cut, and go up, upfield is what Kubiak wants to see out of his running backs. And I think that's where the focus is really going to be on for the Ravens.
And then, Jameson, really exciting news for you today and for everyone who have a chance to read this book, your first, or I should say your latest book out, Flying High, Stories from the Baltimore Ravens. This is your first book, right?
It is.
Yeah,
it's my first time going with the book. And today is kind of the launch day. It's officially out today. You can order it through Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. If you would like to get an inscribed copy sent right to your door, you can go right to my website, which is JamesonHensley.com. So there are a lot of different ways you can get it, but I'm very, very excited. And it details the Ravens. It's the full history from Art Modell through the second Super Bowl victory. So a lot of pretty good memories that people, I think, when you read it, you'll find some maybe new stories, but you can kind of relive some of the great memories from Ravens history.
And you've covered almost all of it, Jameson. Tell us some of the interesting characters and former Ravens and people associated with the team that you've talked to write this book.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the appeal to it, because you did go back and revisit some of the players. I talked to Jamal Lewis, who was, when he won that first Super Bowl, he thought this was, he kept talking about it. He told his friends that, he's going to win, three, four Super Bowls while he's done. But what's interesting with Jamal was that towards the end of his career, I asked him, I'm like, was there any kind of, bitterness that you didn't re-sign with the Ravens and they let you go to Cleveland? And he said at that point he was happy to go because he didn't think the Ravens reinvested in that offensive line. So he wanted to go somewhere that he had some blockers. So it's stories like that, too, that you get insight from players removed from it, and you kind of get their true feelings on different topics. I talked to Steve Bisciotti, Brian Billick, even Brandon Stokely when he was here, talking about how, he kind of changed Ravens history with his most memorable catch of his career. And he talked about that season in 2000. He was kind of a little banged up in training camp. He didn't even know if he was going to make the team, much less make the big play in the Super Bowl. So it was good. It was really fun to kind of revisit and hear kind of those stories from a lot of the former players.
It sounds terrific. I can't wait to read it, and I hope to get you in studio in the coming weeks, Jameson, to get into the book a little more in-depth. Again, it's called Flying High, Stories from the Baltimore Ravens, written by Jameson Hensley, our friend. Jamo, that's great stuff, and I'll see you on Thursday at M&T Bank Stadium.
Sounds good. I really, really appreciate the help. Thank you so much, Brett.
That's Jameson Hensley. Sounds great. Can't wait to get into that book. That will be a